Jay right in your face.
Welcome back to the Fadeaway Podcast, off-season edition, baby. We've been on vacation so long, I damn near forgot the name of the podcast, man. We're living out here. We're living like the NBA stars. We're taking a 2-3 week vacation.
Exactly. The extended stay
vacation. 2-3.
We went deep into the season, man. We had a long, long, long season. So.
Forget season. Two seasons. Exactly. It's been like 2 years.
Exactly. So I think we deserved some, you know, some well-used, well-rested, well-needed time off.
Isn't it crazy how we're starting season 4 of the show, but we haven't even hit a 3-year anniversary?
Dang.
Because the NBA
was packed.
To put it in perspective. Right? There.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we got to give a quick shout out first to our boy, Ramons.
Ray.
Ray got engaged on the September long weekend. We went down to Ottawa, the capital, for it.
Yes.
Man, I love Ottawa, man.
It's a fun trip, man. This is the second year in a row we've done it.
Same weekend.
Last year
we drove down on OG game winner day, game 3.
Against
the Celtics.
Yeah.
But yeah, you, myself, PK, we went down there, got an Airbnb. Well, a bunch of other people were down there as well.
Yeah.
But we actually biked around the city.
I scootered a bit. Well.
Yeah, you scootered a little bit.
I didn't bring a bike. You guys bought your bike. I scootered a little bit. It was beautiful.
Yeah. I feel like we owe it to the fans to tell them where we've been. So just got to give them a bit of a rundown. But yeah, the last couple weekends, man, it's been nice. It's been nice to get a break.
It was the end of the summer.
Break, but I've been getting killed at work. But whatever.
Exactly. I mean, it depends how you look at it. But it was the end of the summer. Weddings, engagements, trips.
Softball.
Softball still is alive. It's hopefully, we'll crown a champion soon.
Needless to say, a lot going on. We're back though. We're here. We're here to talk some ball. I think we were going to do another concept of an episode, but we were like, hey, there's been, tons of things that happened since our last appearance. So we're back to sort of talk about, a few of those transactions, a few of those things around the league to keep note of, because there has been considerable movement since then. So we can actually just get started with Mr. Terry, Scary Terry. Ooh. Terry Rozier has agreed to a 4-year, $97 million extension with the Hornets. Wow.
Shmoney.
I mean, I'm very surprised.
Shmoney.
I'm very surprised, but if you really look at it, like, they had paid him, $70 when Kemba wanted Kemba had wanted the max. They gave him around, $70 million.
66 or something. In that range.
$60 to $70 million. And everyone was like, well, they got him cheaper. And then you fast forward a couple of years. Kemba Walker is now on his, third move. Because he got traded, bought out.
He's with the Knicks.
Joined the Knicks.
Yep.
And then you look at Scary Terry re-upping with the same team at a higher contract. So interesting what a couple years can do for you, what a couple playoff runs or a couple decent runs can do for you. But what do you think of that move? Are you a fan? Are you questioning, another Michael Jordan signing? Last year they had the 120 Gordon Hayward,
which we were all
surprised at. He had a good year, but still very broken year.
Exactly.
So what do you think of this move for the Hornets?
I mean, they did a good job in keeping Scary Terry. I think keeping him, I think him and LaMelo have created a great chemistry together. The team has created a great chemistry together. Their season last season was a bit of a learning season, but they managed to play some sort of meaningful basketball at the end, even though they didn't show up during that meaningful basketball. I think it keeps a young core together, but Scary Terry I'm just going to round up and make it easy. $25 million a year is kind of high for a guy who's, he's not really a first tier combo guard. He's not a second tier combo guard. He's not an all-star player, caliber player.
I would say he's maybe second tier, maybe two and a half
he's
tier.
He's like that 2B kind of tier. So it just depends how much you're willing to pay for that kind of player. I think still for the Hornets, they need to keep the good players that they have. Kemba, when he was in his free agency, he was demanding more than, 120? I forget the contract he ended up signing with. I think I got it right here. He ended up signing around $32 million a year with the Celtics. So $7 million difference there. They didn't really break the bank that much with Rozier. And by the time LaMelo has to sign an extension or is up for free agency, I think that contract is going to be easier to move as well and easier to play with. So financially, it's not a poor decision. I don't think so. Team-wise, I think Scary Terry still has a lot to, you know, to give to a team. He's the veteran guy on that team, really.
Yeah, so they got him locked till 25, 26, which is
that's still prime.
Pretty crazy because right now, how old is he now, Scary Terry?
If he's got him locked to 25, 26, wait, 21, 22 now?
So Scary Terry is, how old are you, fam? 27. So he's 27.
Oh, it's a year 27.
So he's making 18.9 or made last year. Yep. So this year he's 17.9, goes down. Interesting. I think this is the first year of the next contract. But anyways, then 21.5, then 23, 24.5, 26.6. So you're looking at 27, 28, 29, 30. So by the time he's done this deal, he's 31 years old. It's not a bad deal by any means. The only thing with me is what direction are you going here? Because you drafted LaMelo Ball, who's clearly your point guard. I just don't understand it. Maybe now it makes a good sense. But even, you know, that kid Cody Martin that they had. Not to say he's better than Terry Rozier, but it seemed like an interesting time to lock him down for that long. Maybe they thought they were getting a steal. I don't know.
It's tough because Rozier is as aggressive as a two guard, but has the size of a one. He's
definitely not a point guard.
He's 6'1".
He doesn't play like a point guard.
He doesn't play like a point guard. He's 6'1".
He's sized like
one. Then your point guard is LaMelo Ball, who's 6'6", 6'7", and however he continues to grow. So I think they're going to – you're going to see a lot of them at you know, the one and the two interchangeable. And Rozier is interchangeable in that sense, and then you're going to have Gordon Hayward at the three. It works. It works. You get a guy who's good, and you sign him all the way throughout to his prime. Their main focus, though, in Charlotte should be keeping LaMelo Ball happy, making him an all-star, making him the face of the franchise. And around that, when that deal is up, LaMelo Ball is going to be up for a big extension.
What I do like about this, though, is it seems like the Charlotte Hornets are committing to their guys because they did get rid of Devontae Graham, and Devontae was kind of that weird 1-2 kind of thing, kind of very similar to Terry, right? So they get rid of him, re-up Terry. The young guys are on their contracts. It looks good. Vaught, just to put it in perspective, bro, LaMelo Ball is making $8 million a year, and in his last year of his rookie contract, he makes $10.9 million, which is like $1.5 million less than what the highest paid NHL player makes. And that's his rookie contract.
That's actually a lot for a rookie contract.
Albeit he's top, well, he's number one, right? He got drafted number one. Maybe number two?
Number two, I think. Number
got drafted number two. Top three.
Top three, for sure.
He's top three. 7.8, 8.2, 8.6, 10.9. Crazy pay. And that's just, you know, that's just the beginning.
Exactly, so, yeah.
I like the moves that they made. I don't think they're bad. I think that, you know, they're still one player away because one really outside, even, away. Yeah, I'd say even two players away because Gordon can't be that guy. And then when you go down the roster, Terry Rozier, not that guy. Malik Monk is even still there. He's on the Lakers now. PJ Washington.
Bridges.
Could he be that guy? Miles Bridges is nice, but I don't think he's that guy.
He
creates for himself very much.
Just a fact check, LaMelo Ball, third pick in the draft. That sounded much more right than one and two. But
who are the two idiots that didn't take him?
It's amazing how it was just like last year and we had already gone, already forgotten.
Yeah.
No, so they took Minnesota took Edwards, Anthony number Edwards. One. Number one. I don't know who they took number two. I forget who they took number two. But bring that up. But while you bring that up, Miles Bridges has the build, has the athleticism to be that guy. It just hasn't panned out for him to be that guy.
James Wiseman.
Who are the idiots? You love
those
James
idiots. Well, I mean, yeah, I like him. I wouldn't take him at number two, but I'd take him off someone's team.
It depends. Yeah. It depends what your team needs. Obviously, it's different when it wakes up to those top three or four draft spots. But yeah, they don't have a guy. They don't have an all-star yet. They don't really have a star yet. LaMelo Ball, I think, is going to turn into that by the end of his rookie deal, and he's going to become an all-star and become a good player. They just need to fill the spots around him. Cody Martin, you mentioned, they've got some good guys off their bench. They've got some good players. They're like one of those just bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff teams. If they're a first-round exit, if they can just slowly build and slowly just get better every single year, if they can really make some noise in the first round this year, I think it'll be great for LaMelo. It'll be great for the franchise. But a franchise like that, giving Rozier $97 million, you got to do what you got to do. You kept him. You didn't really overpay for him. So it's a good deal for them for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on. I think, you know, the Hornets are – they're fun to watch, but they're not that much fun to talk about. And there's not much to talk about when it comes to them. I think they're middle of the pack playing team. Doesn't really get that much better.
No.
Okay, let's move on to the Boston Celtics because they made a few moves. But now I'm wondering, did we talk about Dennis Schroeder to the Celtics here?
I don't think so. I think that happened maybe after we did the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. So let's assume we didn't. Let's group that in. So the Boston Celtics made a few moves. Obviously, they extended center Robert Williams. What do they call him? Time Lord? I don't know why they call him that. Yeah, I don't know why.
You got a fat deal, man.
Robert Williams, 4-year, $54 million contract. They're the only team that believes in him somehow. I don't get it. Maybe I'm a stupid guy.
Yeah.
But I don't see it. They also got forward Josh Richardson, our guy from Dallas. Failed year. I think it's a – you know what, though? If you really look at it, though, Boston's got two point guards right now. They got Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
And they got Josh Richardson, both on prove-it deals.
Yeah.
Both in the point guard position that they very badly need. This could either be really bad for them or it could be really good for them because – two guys fighting for a contract, fighting for a job, and two guys who can play well, that's a pretty good luxury to have.
What I don't like about that is maybe just because we've seen him play with Luka the last year, I don't think Josh Richardson is as much of a point guard as he is as a wing player or as a shoot 3-and-D kind of guy. So, I mean, they're not really fighting for the same position, I would say, but they are fighting for a spot on this team. You know, obviously didn't have the greatest year last year. I mean, efficient true shooting, he shot 50% from the field, so not horrible, but I just don't think he fit well with that Dallas squad. In Boston, I think his role is going to be a lot less just because they do have Tatum, they do have Brown, manning the offense, really running the offense. Dennis Schroeder signing for, what, $5.4 million, $5.9 million?
Something crazy like
that's what happens when you bet on yourself and it goes wrong. And
turn down that 84. Turned
down that fat deal from the Lakers, had an awful playoffs, and his value diminished really easily. But great for Boston to, you know, take a chance on him and really steal him away for pretty much chips and cookies. That's not a expensive deal by any means. So the biggest deal was Robert Williams. I know last year we were asking a lot, you know, who is this guy? This guy was a Raptor killer in the
everyone's a Raptor killer, but it was in the playoffs.
You have guys, in the playoffs. You have guys who are just Raptor killers, and they really are prominent Raptor killers. And this guy was one of them. So to get him for in the low tens per year, not a bad offseason for them at all.
No, absolutely, it was. Yeah, like I said, he's one of those guys that only they believe in. Exactly. It's not a bad deal, like you said, financially. I just don't know if it helps them much. They did bring back Al Horford, so they have him.
I don't really know what he's gonna really provide.
I honestly think that the Boston Celtics have truly wasted having Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Absolutely.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, these are nice looking guys, maybe like a nice roster, but like, you need a real point guard.
Yes.
You don't need two prove it point guards.
Yeah.
You have two generational talents. Maybe not. Okay, we'll say 1.5 generational talents if you don't believe as much in Jaylen. But they're definitely two of the top 10 wings in the league.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
They brought in other guys. Chris Dunn they brought in as well. I'm listing names. I'm not by any means saying they were great pickups, but you bring in another combo guard. Jabari Parker they brought in, another prove it kind of guy. Peyton Pritchard looks like he's going to be really relied on at the point guard spot. You know, we saw great minutes.
He did score 82 in a Pan Am or Pro Am game.
So. He did do that. It's just a shame to see what the Celtics have done this season. They've really wasted or haven't done. Even the things they have done, with the whole GM firing and then moving Brad to GM, like that
he's had a terrible first go.
He's had a terrible first go. So I'm not confident in the Celtics at all. I think they're going to be at the bottom half of the 5 or 6 spot in the Eastern Conference. Their window, it really depends on how the free agency goes when it comes to Tatum and Brown. It really reminds me of a T-Mac Vince Carter situation. Well, you're going to keep one and one's going to walk away because one wants their own team and one wants to blossom on a different team. So it sucked. Their window is closing and it's closing really, really fast.
If you're a betting man, do you see Jason Tatum staying in Boston?
yes, I don't see Jaylen Brown staying. Because they're going to invest in Jason. They're going to invest in Jason, and Jaylen Brown is going to want that same exact commitment. I just don't see them giving him as much money. I don't see him giving him the same max that Jason. Obviously, Jason gets a higher max because he's an all-star player. Jalen's is lower because he doesn't make all NBA teams or the all-star games, so it's a bit lower. But I think he's going to be really fighting for a max deal. If they give it to him, that's great. They should do that. But I'm not surprised if he gets traded midseason or he ends up walking away. That is not going to be surprising at all.
They got Jaylen Brown on 3 more years. They extended Marcus Smart.
Yes, they did.
Yep. Gave him a fat contract.
Yep.
They got Jason Tatum. So they got these guys for another at least 3 years. They got Jason and Marcus for another 4 or 5 years.
They're locked in. They just don't have...
Right now, they're locked in. Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Robert Williams.
That's not a bad core to have on your team.
Because of the two guys.
Because of the two guys, especially the two guys. Marcus Smart is a nice player. He's a gritty guy. He's a nice role player to have. But you need to have a guy that's leading your offense. You need to have a good point guard. They don't have that. They have undersized point guards who aren't athletic, who, you know, I don't think they can really step up in the big moments and fill those shoes that they need. So their roster, I'm going to expect more moves to be made throughout the season or for them to look to do more moves.
Yeah.
I'm
excited, though, because they have a new head coach. So Ime Udoka.
Yep.
You hear great things about him.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what he does with those guys. Because I also think a part of it, too, was they hit a coaching ceiling. And I just don't
Absolutely.
Think that they really vibed with Brad like that.
Brad. That's what he became when he came to the Celtics. But
yeah,
it was one of those Dwayne Casey situations. Similarly, you know, you've hit your ceiling. You're not going to get higher than this. They made a conference final 1 year and they lost to the Cavs. That's the highest they went. Ever since then, it has been downhill. So it's good to get a fresh start sometimes. Let's see what they can do. Let's see what moves they can make. But these are not the Boston Celtics of maybe 2 years ago. Or even before COVID, we were like, yo, these guys they might be a threat.
Man, even if you really think about it, like last year in the bubble, we almost beat them. And we had just lost Kawhi and Danny Green.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, so you have two young guys who are so good.
Studs, man, studs.
And we took you to 7 games. Like,
yeah.
Something's got to give.
Exactly.
But I'm glad that they thought the guy that couldn't do it was good enough to be the GM. So we'll see how that works out for them. But moving on to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So...
I don't know what they're doing.
The Cleveland Cavaliers have the worst franchise in basketball.
Debatable?
I actually think because of LeBron, it's debatable. But if you really just take LeBron out of the picture, this franchise
in general
is trash. It's trash. These guys are the most stupid front office in the NBA. Like, they sound like six centers.
Yeah.
So after drafting a center third overall, and after paying a center $100 million.
Jared Allen. They also brought in Taco Fall.
They got in Taco Fall, but then they went in and they signed a $67 million deal to Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
The struggling big out of the Chicago Bulls. So Lauri Markkanen was a top 10 pick for the Bulls.
Yeah.
Obviously didn't pan out there. Didn't like his time there. Coaches didn't really like him. Did he have a fair run at it? Maybe not.
Maybe
you
not.
Can make the argument, you know, with the coaches too. Moving, injuries, sure. But more so the coaches. And he had pretty – Boylan was a pretty rough coach. You hear about it, the stories with him and what he does. But nonetheless, another big – I just don't understand the purpose of this team. And then there were reports of, you know, Colin Sexton, should we move him? Should we invest in him? Like, is that even a question? Like, I saw a stat. It's like he's the first guy – or one of two guys from the last 4 drafts to average 20 points a game. And you're talking about not keeping him.
Nobody wants to be here.
What baffles me is you got Garland. You got what's his name? You got this guy.
Yeah.
You got the kid they got last year, Isaac Okoro.
Yep.
You have good pieces. You have a good team, and then you go out and you get 6 forwards, 6 centers. I just don't understand.
The Jared Allen pickup, I think it was a bit pricey, but
$100 million.
A good pickup for a young team to build a young core. These guys can, you know, really build together. But then you bring in guy like you still have Kevin Love on your roster who you refuse to buy out or you refuse to come to a deal with. Get him off your books. Get him off your roster. That guy is just – he just shouldn't be on your team anymore. I'm surprised he's still in the league. I don't really like Team USA had to kick him off. Like, that's how bad it's been for Kevin Love. Not saying he can't make a comeback or can't do anything like that, but right now he just doesn't seem like he wants to play. They got Ricky Rubio on their team, who I feel like they will move at some point use as a trading piece. But you give Lauri Markkanen $6-7 million for nothing, and you have Jared Allen. We're gonna do a 4 and a 5 with these two. You're $170 million in on your 4 and your 5 spot. Like, and these guys are, you know, still very unproven.
Yep.
Lowry way more than Jared Allen. Jared Allen, you know, we've seen great glimpses from him.
For me, it's
poor decision making.
Evan Mobley, Kevin Love, Jared Allen, Isaac Okoro, Lowry Markkanen. What are you doing? Kevin Love will take him out, sure. They don't want him there. He just doesn't want to give up any money. Fine. That's four guys. Evan Mobley, 7-footer. Lowry Markkanen, 7-footer. Jared Allen, 6'11". You have 3 7-footers on your team.
The Raptors couldn't buy one last
and
year.
And one of them, the thing about it is, it's not like, oh, and you have Taco Fall, who's like 8 feet. So
Dean Wade is 6'10".
Yeah.
he's sure. He's up there too.
And that's the point. When you have guys like Taco Fall and Dean Wade that can fill the end of your bench, I get it.
Yeah.
But when you have 3 7-footers, one being Lowry Markkanen, who is here because he clearly thinks he's going to play.
Yeah.
He wanted to play. He wanted to leave Chicago to get an opportunity. He's a top 10 pick not of long ago, and you just threw him $67 million. So clearly a guy you want as part of your rotation.
Right.
Okay. Jared Allen, you just gave him $100 million. So you're saying take us.
Take You're
the guy. The guy you drafted last year, third overall, Evan Mobley, center, 7 foot. What? He's your 7 foot third overall pick.
How are you going to develop him?
And not even last year, sorry. They just drafted him.
How are you going to develop? Big men in general take a longer time to develop. Everybody knows that. Now you're going to put 2 bigs in front of him. He's not going to play.
Yeah.
It's just poor.
Poor team making.
Poor decision making. It's
Garland
awful.
And Sexton. Other than that, they don't have a single guard that's reliable. Really.
That's why they
literally have 4 guards on their whole roster, and 2 of them are Damian Dotson and Dylan Windler. Yeah.
That's why they're the Cavaliers,
The Cavaliers not really doing much. And on top of that, they threw away Larry Nance Jr. to the Portland Trailblazers.
Yep.
Which is a nice move. I mean, again, another team that, you know, your whole objective this summer was to make Dame happy and try to convince Dame to stay. And quite frankly, you
did not
do
a good job. Yeah.
Your biggest move in the summer was probably this guy, Larry Nance, which is a nice piece. I mean, does it really help? They have Nurk. Do they still have Kanter? No, they don't have Kanter, but they have Nurk. They had Kanter and Nurk last year. So I don't think bigs were their issue.
The biggest pickup was the Bulls received Derrick Jones Jr., who is probably going to be a very quality bench player for them. So that's probably the best part of the deal. Really, that's the team that won the deal. I think like Bulls got offloaded Markkanen.
The Bulls had a fantastic offseason.
Yeah, probably the best in the league. They're up there for the best in the league.
It's hit or miss. It could be the best or it could be the worst.
Depending on
how it works.
I think team construction wise and what they've created and the buzz they've created, especially overall, they've had probably the best offseason. Do I think they're going to win a championship with this team? I don't think it's championship.
I don't know about championship if that's even what they want right now. But
they just
want
to sell tickets.
They're doing a great job. They want Zach LaVine to sign the max. Yeah. And that's what they're trying to do is make him happy. Zach's never really been in a winning situation. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll take that much to make Zach happy. Yeah. I think you have 1 year where you win 50 games and he gets to see what it's like to be the face of a winning franchise.
In the playoffs.
I think that's going to, especially in Chicago, Jordantown, like, I think that's enough to sell this. But as a roster, yeah, it could really be a great roster. It could also be a terrible roster. We don't really know. It could also result in him wanting to leave ASAP. Like, there's a lot of guys who need the ball on that team.
Yeah.
Between him and Vooch and DeMar and Kobe White's a young guy who wants to develop. And so there's just a lot of different things to look at. But I really like the fact that the Bulls are relevant again, I think, is the most important thing. Because for a while, like, you know, back when Joakim Noah and
D-Rose, Jimmy Butler, Kirk
Heinrich, like, that was the team, right?
Right.
And that was the team you wanted to watch and enjoyed watching. But now that, you know, they're back, hopefully the United Center can get some basketball back, man.
The next deal, which I think is a pretty important deal, 2-time NBA champion and 4-time All-Star guard Rajon Rondo agreed to a buyout with the Memphis Grizzlies. And upon clearing waivers, signed with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, with his buddy. DeAndre Jordan?
And also, DeAndre Jordan also got bought out, which we'll get in. Oh, yeah, that's the next deal. So so the Brooklyn Nets traded DeAndre Jordan for a second-round pick and $5.78 million to the Pistons for center Jahlil Okafor, who had no idea he was still in the league, and Siku Dumbaya, according to Woj. The Nets on that deal saved $47 million in salary and tax. DJ became a free agent after that and also signed with the Lakers. The Lakers pick up DeAndre Jordan and Rajon Rondo. Great moves for the Lakers. I think having some championship continuity helps a lot. Rajon Rondo is going to help the team a lot. We saw how much he helped in their championship season. DeAndre Jordan will most likely... We didn't really see much from him on the Nets roster, so I'm kind of concerned as to what he can still do.
I think he could be great there because it reminds me of JaVale McGee.
I hope he can be great there. DeAndre Drummond didn't do that much. Andre Drummond didn't do that much there, so I don't think he has big shoes to fill.
I never thought that was a good fit. I don't know why Drummond is being played as a backup center. Look, Andre Drummond, maybe the reality is he's just not a contending center.
Yeah.
He could be a center on a decent team, decent to bad, and I'll concede that. Last year I was saying bring him on the Raptors. We were a decent to bad team, so that's my fair point. But I don't know what this Andre Drummond backup center situation. It doesn't work. They're going to try it in Philly this year. It's not going to work. Why I think DeAndre Jordan can work is because he's more of a role guy.
Yeah.
He could do what JaVale McGee was doing. The only thing is he needs to be healthy.
Yeah.
And that's been his biggest issue.
He's older as well.
The biggest issue.
I'm also not really with this, hey, let's take you off the Nets and the Lakers. Hey, come into my team. Like, it's just so weird to go from, like, favorite to favorite. Do you know what I mean? Like, just from a fan perspective. He's a sellout.
He's definitely a sellout. Yeah, there's no question. The top three teams are recycling 30-plus players. That's just what it is.
It's crazy. And it's really interesting to see, like, we were talking about this before, maybe like a few weeks ago when this happened. We were like, yo, didn't Kyrie and KD, like, they weren't coming to Brooklyn unless they signed DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Signed, played that 1 year without KD and Kyrie, and then ever since those next two years, he wasn't playing. I think
they got their coach fired because he didn't want to play DeAndre Jordan as much.
Yeah.
And then they traded Jared Allen because they wanted to play DeAndre Jordan. And then they traded DeAndre Jordan. They should address us publicly and apologize. They should apologize publicly. What are you doing?
It's weird to me, but, you know, yeah, I agree with you. He could be a good fit there. I don't think he's going to be expected to do much. In terms of what he used to do and how he used to play, you know, with that same athleticism, that same boost. But the Lakers are really rounding out their roster with great veterans. Let's hope the health, you know, they stay healthy. They can stay as young as possible. They also traded Marc Gasol and got rid of him they traded him back to the Memphis Grizzlies. That did not work over there. There's still some sort of, I read a report with Marc Gasol saying he never really got over being played behind Andre Drummond. I didn't really understand that move either, but they got him off their roster. Marc Gasol now is going to go.
Probably going to retire.
No, he's going to play one more season in Spain. It's in their D2, but he owns a team. So he signs his own checks.
That's pretty crazy.
He signed him. That's pretty cool. I feel like it's his hometown, so that's why he wants to end his career there. Respect. Marc Gasol, great career, hell of a career, champion. But it's about time. The last few years, the way he's been moving, the way he's been playing.
It was the year after the championship year. I think that was it. I think
that was the most frustrating year watching him play. Wow,
it was bad. It was terrible. Wow. And I don't miss him one bit. but I'm happy. I'm grateful for what he did for us. 100%.
Absolutely.
The Lakers have 9 guys that are over 30 years old. They have Wayne Ellington, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, Dwight Howard, Kent Bazemore, Marc Gasol. He's gone now, so I guess less than that. But Rajon Rondo, DeAndre Jordan, LeBron James. And Trevor Ariza.
That sounds like a lot more than 9, but well, that's a lot.
It's 10 because I included Marc Gasol, so it's Mark. 9 because you swapped.
That's the concern. They're an old team.
Which can be a really great thing, but after 82 games. Okay, look. What happened the last time we gave AD and LeBron an offseason?
They won.
They won a chip. Yeah. So we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, they definitely have a good chance. I think that when it comes down to the playoffs – if there's any way they can rest all these guys till the playoffs, then they're going to have it in the bag. Because age and experience trumps everything in the playoffs. So we've seen it time and time
and
again.
And I mean, you still have an athletic LeBron. You still have athletic AD. You still have athletic Westbrook.
I mean, AD is questionably athletic. I don't know if he's still an athlete. He doesn't move like an athlete.
For a guy in
like 5 months.
For a guy that's 7 feet to move the way he does, it's athletic for a 7 footer. I'm talking about just like, you know, talk about.
He needs to be healthy though, because he struggled this year.
That's the problem. So it's all about health for that team. It's all about health. Them fully healthy, they've got athletic guys. They've got guys who know how to play the game. They've got LeBron James, one of the best players ever. So it looks really good for them. So let's see what they can do.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next deal. Senator Clint Capella has agreed to a 2-year, $46 million extension with the Atlanta Hawks after their Cinderella season. $23 million a year for a big man. You know, when you start to get into the mid-20s for a big man, it gets kind of tough to justify. At least it's a short-term deal.
Yeah.
It's not a 5-year, $100 million deal.
I thought he played great, man. He deserved the money.
He did.
He deserved the money. They played great. Re-opt him probably for the next couple of years. Let's see what we can do with this roster.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to see if they have a player or a team option on that second year. Because I would
if they're smart, they probably should do a team option on that second
Clint's
year.
Clint's a good player, though. I don't know if they have the luxury.
The luxury of doing that. You know,
but nonetheless, I like the move a lot. Did we talk about LaMarcus Aldridge to Brooklyn? Did we talk about any Brooklyn yet?
We'll talk about Brooklyn right up next, but round out the Hawks right now. Good team.
We saw what we saw from them this year. I think they need another year. We see it time and time again with young teams that make deep runs. They come back and more intelligent. They come back better. We saw with the Boston Celtics early when they were younger. We saw with our guys when we went through that championship run. It changes you.
Yeah.
So to go to the conference final in your first playoff run, Trey is on top of the world.
John Collins, you bring him back.
They're in good hands. And also the John Collins thing, like think about last year. Is he coming back? Is he not coming back? His teammates, is he going to stay? Is he going to flake? So now everything's out of the way. Both guys are re-upped. Everyone's getting their money. Let's just get to work.
Great coach.
Too. I like it. Great coach. They re-upped the coach as well.
Yeah.
And I pulled up the contract here. It doesn't say where rights. Yeah. So it looks like it's guaranteed.
Great move for them. Great way to, you know, you got continuity. They still, to me, are in the middle of the Eastern Conference. If they can make another Cinderella run like that, that'd be great for them. But they've got a bright future. I have them. They're really, really young.
Yeah, let's talk Brooklyn because they also swept up a crew of 45-year-olds.
So after retiring due to heart concerns 5 months ago, 7-time NBA All-Star LaMarcus Aldridge is returning on a 1-year, $2.6 million deal with the Brooklyn Nets. Purely from a fan perspective and as a human perspective, it's great to see him back. We just saw, you know, I just listened to Chris Bosh's Hall of Fame speech yesterday, and he talks about his career being cut short.
That part killed me.
Killed me. So, you know, it's great to see people get healthy again.
Isn't it crazy? Did it hit you the same way when he's like, I had to finish my career at 31?
31 years old.
You don't even realize how young he is. But
he
also
was a star.
Another thing I never took in is we got robbed of like 4 or 5 years of solid CB. So I remember when LeBron would sit in Miami, and CB would have 30
game
plus
winners.
every game.
CB was amazing, man.
True
Hall of Famer, man.
You know what pisses me off, though, is I feel like the Toronto CB is
a forgotten thing.
I think he feeds into it, though.
In this speech.
Yeah. He doesn't talk about Toronto.
You know how in the speeches they'll mention someone, they'll mention something, and they'll pause for the crowd to applause.
Paul Pierce did it. C-Web did it. Sacramento.
They all do it. They all do it with whatever like person they mention or whatever. Yeah, I was first year, 19 years old, drafted by the Toronto Raptors, and I got my second jersey. Whatever it says. Doesn't stop the pause.
Nothing.
No.
Well, he did after he said the name on the back of the jersey.
Bosh. So
I mean, it is what it is, but I think that, you know, it is a big part of his career that is essentially forgotten when you think of Chris Bosh.
We made him into an all-star.
Yeah, when you think of Chris Bosh, you think of the Miami Heat, and that's
you
that.
Yeah.
I wish I saw a little bit more of him afterwards, but you know, it is what it is.
But shout out to Chris Bosh. You don't think about that, man.
31 years old is super young.
Exactly. So
super young.
Coming back to that, you know, great to see LaMarcus Aldridge back in the league. He returns on a 1-year, $2.6 million deal. The Nets also pick up Paul Millsap on a probably a veteran minimum deal. Bro, another back older in 2010, guy.
The Nets and the Lakers would be the greatest. It would be an all-star game.
I don't know if you've seen all the posts of, like, the Nets and the Lakers have, like, it was, like, in, like, 2014, they've got, like, 8 of the 20 all-stars or whatever, something wild like that. Like, they're just all old all-stars.
Washed up all-stars.
They're all
washed up stars.
So, does it make it fair for them to come on? Like, these aren't crazy super teams when you really look at them. Like, you look at LA and you look at Paul Millsap, you're like, yeah, they're smart guys. They've been around the league, but they can't really give more than 15 to 20 solid minutes a night. Yeah. So is it really that big of a pickup? I guess we're about to find out. But I don't know what's up with this new obsession of picking up end of career guys that are going to – I mean, it's rank chasing for them, but for the teams that are picking up these guys – it doesn't always seem to pan out in general, so we'll see how they do. I guess, you know, it's up to them to make it work at this point.
100%. Before we wrap it up, I think there is like maybe one more thing to cover here.
Two more things. One quick shout out to Kevin Pangos for getting a deal. The Canadian signed a 2-year, $3.5 million deal with the crappy Cleveland Cavaliers. Nonetheless, it's a deal. He's considered to be one of the best point guards in the EuroLeague. So hopefully he can make some noise. So shout out to Kevin Pangos. But news broke out today that John Wall and the Houston Rockets have agreed to work on a trade to get him out of Houston. Happy they came to that agreement. Sometimes it's harder for other people and teams to do that, like Kevin Love and the crappy Cleveland Cavaliers. Crappaliers.
The Crappaliers.
Nice. We got a name. Where does John Wall go? Where does he fit? Where do you want to see him? What is your John Wall take? What are you looking for? Who cares?
Like, it's one of those things where are you going to be the number one option on a team?
That's bad.
That can't be a good team or a competitor. I don't know. Like, the thing is, we saw good flashes of John Wall, but we also didn't really see him play on a serious team.
Yeah.
So, do I know enough about what he can do right now? No. I mean, I don't even know where he could go right now.
That's what I'm saying. Because
he's making a monstrous amount of money.
So, I don't know what team is going to want to take on that contract.
I'm just glad that they parted ways, though. Because, you know, Houston is heading in a different direction. They got a bunch of young guys, good core. There's no need for John Wall at all there.
See, that's the smart thing to do for a franchise. Like, you know, you just got to look yourself in the mirror and be like, yo, where am I right now? Where do
John
I
Wall should
to?
Go to the Cavs. Sell some tickets.
I don't even think I'll sell tickets there, to be honest, right now at this point.
I don't think so.
The deal makes it harder. Like, if it worked out, you know, could John Wall benefit a team like the Boston Celtics who need a good point guard? Maybe, but the money doesn't work, probably.
He'd be their highest paid player.
Exactly. It wouldn't work.
Wow.
You know, do they do a three-team trade? He goes to the Sixers. Ben Simmons goes somewhere else. Who knows?
I think they should facilitate a trade from they should trade him to the Shanghai Sharks. first interleague trade in NBA history.
It sucks because a few years ago, you say John Wall's name.
He was nasty,
and he was explosive. He was electric.
He was the truth.
He still has it, but he never really became the all-around player
that
you
wanted.
Also,
he's kind of becoming a bit of a problem, like a bit of a locker room issue. Like, you see, like, in Washington and different issues, and then between him and other guys on the team. I don't know if it was him or maybe Harden, but
yeah,
I don't know. You hear good things about John Wall. Maybe, I don't want to say that. That's an unfair point. So let's scratch that, but
who cares? At the end of the day,
John Wall. We need another year of experimenting with John Wall to see what we can really get. Mm-hmm. So,
Last deal of the day, Aaron Gordon today signs a 4-year, $92 million extension. That's a lot of M's. It's a lot of years.
Hey, man, look, they were 8-0 when they picked him up, so maybe.
I just don't really see why they felt the need to do that. I don't know if there was other places he's looking to go to. I think he's a quality player. Do I think he's a 4-year, $92 million kind of guy?
I mean, look, Jared Allen makes more money, so when you say that, then
Jared
I can
Allen's
kind of see
5
it.
Years younger, 6 years younger than him.
6 years?
I mean, he's old.
Aaron Gordon's
25.
Not old.
Okay, fine. My apologies. Yeah, he's not old. He's 25 years old. Jared Allen's what, 21, 4 years younger. That's a full deal younger than Aaron Gordon. Because Aaron Gordon's been in the league forever.
He's 23.
Oh, only 2 years. Both bad deals. Nice.
I mean, I don't think it's a, like it's not a Jared Allen's deal. Isn't a bad deal. It's a bad deal when you factor in everything around him.
They've done.
But this deal could be a good deal. You know how we feel about Aaron Gordon. Like, you can't be a Raptors fan and like Aaron Gordon.
Yeah,
so
you can't.
For me, it's hard to talk about him in a positive tone. No, I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. Because he fought Lowry. So if anything, I should like him, right? Anyways, Aaron Gordon, nice player. This is my thing with Denver. I just feel like they've reached their max. Like this
is
it.
They're not gonna go higher. Have you seen Jokic?
He looks great, and he was fantastic last year. He was the MVP last year, but they needed their point guard, I guess.
Jokic looking skinny.
Yeah, you know what? I rethought that in 3.3 seconds. I'm going to retract that comment because I think
it could look good.
The West is as open as it gets next year, so it could be good. We'll see how much we get out of Jamal coming back from his torn ACL.
We got to see how it's integrated together.
Yeah,
it's very important. 4-year, $92 million deal. It's not a horrible deal. It's a tradable deal still if things go south. I did see something which I would really love your opinion on. Instagram account, basketball in-depth basketball, something like that. They've got crazy stats, crazy whatever. Posted a story of this deal and said, this is the perfect deal for Mikal Bridges to go to James Jones and says and say, give me 4 years, $100 million. Good sir, what do you think?
100 mil.
4 years, 100. This is the basis he's got to go to him. I want a 4-year, $100 million deal. That's tough, man. It's very, very tough. I'm sure Tom will disagree. However, 4-year, $100 million deal for a guy like Mikal Bridges, who's a good role player. OG like, I think I think he should get OG kind of numbers.
If he was in a different situation, maybe. But when you got
D-Book, CP,
D-Book,
Ayton,
big man,
it's tough to give you a 4-year, $100 million deal.
You got to choose. Essentially, you're picking between him and Ayton. That's what it comes down to.
And I'm probably going to take.
You got to go with the seven footer.
You
got to
go
with the seven
footer. For the team, you
like
you
can find good defensive wing players who can make threes.
I agree.
Mikal Bridges is a good player. Yeah. But to find a 7-footer with his touch and his footwork.
Hands and the role of, oh,
he's more generational. So, from that aspect, does he deserve 100 mil? Maybe in a different.
On a different team?
Like if Terry Rozier can get 100 mil, maybe.
I mean, Terry Rozier is more offensively sound than I would say to Mikal Bridges.
But when he makes up for defensively.
Yeah, it's possible. It's
and
doable.
How much do you pay for defense? How much do you value defense? I don't know. I guess we could talk about that on the next episode. But. We got to get to our evening. Mm-hmm. We got to get to our boy, Mikey B, waiting up.
Yeah.
Shout out to all mans. We didn't even say this in the beginning, but we're brought to you by the Balls Life Podcast Network. You know where to find us, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the podcasts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know where to find us, and we'll come at you guys next episode.